All aboard!
Hello, I'm Keith Parent, and welcome aboard The Faith Train, brought to you by Share Marketing and PCJ Media. It's very nice to have you join me today as we step on board the Faith Train. Now, some of you are asking, what is the Faith Train? Who or what is faith? Is faith a person? Is faith a belief? Well, not exactly. Faith is a very special little dog. And what makes her so special, you may ask? Well, number one, she was born with two hind legs, so she is bipedal. Number two, she walks upright like a human. And number three, this little bundle of fur and floppy ears has touched thousands of people. And even more thousands have been inspired by her to overcome obstacles in their own lives. So sit back for the next 55 minutes as we take you on board the Faith Train. Some people have asked me how I found out about faith. Well, in 2007, a friend sent me an online video clip of this little dog walking upright. Now, to be honest, when I first saw it, I was thinking, this is a very good special effect. But when I watched the video clip for a second time and came across videos of faith on TV shows like Montel and Oprah Winfrey, I realized faith was really a two-legged dog who walked upright and brought much joy to the humans she met. Not too long after, I contacted Jude Springfellow, Faith's owner, to talk about this amazing little dog for an afternoon talk show that I was doing at the time. I began by asking her how she got Faith.
Actually, Keith, it's kind of funny because, you know, do you have kids? I don't know if you have kids or not, but I have children. And one of them was 17 years old. He's a boy, played football, you know, American football. And he was just kind of a rambunctious kid, right? And he has a friend whose mother's dog had given puppies, and that mother had told her son, our dog gave puppies, but some of them are dead. Please go bury them. So this boy asks my son, hey, come over and help me find the puppies and bury the puppies. And, of course, I knew my son, and I said, do not bring any of those live puppies home. And he said, Mom, they're only 2 weeks old. I wouldn't do that. Well, yes, he did. He brought one home. And his excuse was, but, Mom, she doesn't have any legs. Can't we help her? And I was like, oh my gosh, not only did he bring me a dog, he brought me a legless dog. You know, and I was just a little bit taken back. I was like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Because we knew the mother wasn't going to take her back. And the only other option would have been to put her down, but that's not inside my heart to do. When they have life inside them, when they're able to survive. And so we worked with her. We just we took her to the vet when we needed to, and we just worked with her as hard as we could, and that's how we got her.
You know, myself personally, I mean, I've seen dogs with like three legs, sometimes no tail, ears missing. But I have to admit, this is the first time that I've heard of a dog that only has two legs. And when you think about it, of course, I mean, a dog's anatomy, they're not built to walk on two legs. It's very unusual.
No, it's not. It's not. They're not built that way. And when you say that you'd never seen it before, my veterinarian, who I had gone to third grade with, she had never seen it before, and here she was a professional, and so we kept looking for people who maybe had seen something like it, and nobody had. There had been a couple of dogs who had lost their back legs we'd seen, and that sort of thing, or even both on one side, but we'd never seen a bipedal dog. We were not setting out, Keith, we were not setting out to be the owners of the only bipedal dog in the world, but that's how it turned out. And I hope now, because she is was allowed to live, and she was trained, and we can see that the muscles and the joints do coordinate and adapt. We're hoping that other people who have dogs without front limbs will actually give their dogs at least a chance.
Now, something that I know many of you are wondering right now is, how did Faith learn to walk upright? Here's Jude Springfellow again.
When she was born, she was just flopping around on the ground like any other puppy or any other small animal. And if you notice the dog's legs, they stand on the top of the ball of their feet, but they had that long leg like a rabbit or like a squirrel does, that long part. And we thought, okay, if we could just get her to, you know, sit back on her haunches, if we can get her to sit up, you know, and balance herself, at least she can poo-poo and not get all over herself. Our main thing was, we don't want her wallowing in her own waste. And so we trained her to sit up several times over and over and use peanut butter on the end of a spoon if she would succeed. And soon she started realizing, hey, if I sit like this, I get peanut butter. And so it was just a thing that she wanted the peanut butter, so she did it. And then we started rewarding her if she would go further, if she would hop, or if she would follow us and hop. And we really did not teach her to run. We taught her to hop.
After she realized she could walk and walk and walk, keeping her down became a problem. Now, I mean problem in a funny way. Faith discovered running and, well, acting like a dog. I'm sure that many of us out there seeing Faith walk upright for the very first time truly find it amazing.
It was extremely difficult because she did know what mobility was, and she did know what it was like to get around. She also was faster than the four-legged dogs in a short sprint. Not the long thing, but the short sprint. She was faster than they were, and she could actually bound like a kangaroo. And so she could leap and hop to where they were, and just totally surprised them. She really got into that. She thought that was fun. We were fostering puppies at the time, and she really enjoyed being the alpha dog and being able to get someplace they couldn't get to, you know, before they could. And she could stand up because she was taller, so she could take the toy or the bone or whatever away from the little puppies and just stand up.
You know, it's funny, when I've seen video of her walking and interacting with other dogs, I for some reason I have this feeling that in her mind she's showing off to the other dogs, saying, "Look what I can do!"
Exactly, and you know she does that. And we even have a Saint Bernard mixed puppy now that, you know, when she stands up, she's 37 inches tall. He's got 34 inches tall, and he's on four legs. and she still does that. I'm still taller than you.
Now, when she started walking and you started taking her out in public and in parks and everything, it must have been interesting, because to see this is extremely rare. And I mean, I myself, if I had never heard of Faith and I saw a dog walking down the street, you know, walking up on its two legs, looking right at me, I'd be thinking, wait a second, did I drink something funny for, you know, for breakfast?
That is so true. And it still happens, even when people have seen her in the past and they see her for a second or a third time, they're still astonished. But people who have never seen her or never heard of her, which I find hard to believe, but there are really a lot of people who have not, but they are just bowled over by the sight of a dog standing upright, because she is 37 inches tall. And the sight of her, so many people say, I thought that was a toddler. I thought that was a little child with you. And she smiles constantly, and so her head bobs back and forth like a little girl would bob her head back and forth, and people think, oh, I thought that was a little girl. I'm so sorry. Or I thought that was a child. I almost ran into her. And then they just stare at her. And after a while, somebody comes up and says, oh, is that the dog from Oprah? Or is that the dog from Ripley's? You know, and inevitably somebody reminds me or them that she's actually, you know, from some of their stuff. She's like, hello, it's my turn to talk.
As I said at the top of the program, Faith has inspired many people who have difficulties in their own lives. Which leads me to think, how can this happen?
I would have to say, after we put her on local television with KFOR-TV, Channel 4 here in Oklahoma City, the very day they showed that, which was June 23rd of 2003, the very day they did that, the AP, Associated Press, picked it up, and she was put across the world, and immediately we started receiving phone calls from all over the world, with people saying, this is a miracle, or, you know, a lot of very Catholic people in, like Spain and Romania, other places saying that she was a miracle dog, and and that the saints had brought her, things like this. And so that, being of a Protestant background, it didn't really occur to me that a dog could have that sort of a impact on someone's life or heart. But now, having been with her in many, many countries and, you know, in different belief systems, now I see differently that these people truly believe she's a miracle from God, or what their acceptance of God is. In Islam, she's big. I mean, they love her. Her name, Faith, literally transcends every single religion. So that's good. And they actually feel that she heals them. And I know I've seen it on the eyes of soldiers when she goes into their rooms, and they haven't spoken for several months. Maybe they lost their legs, their arm in the war. But when they also came home, they lost their jobs, their girlfriends. They lost everything. And they won't speak. They don't talk to the doctors. And the doctors will call us and say, can you bring Faith up here to Walter Reed, or can you bring Faith to Brooks? Can you bring Faith to this hospital? There's a certain soldier here that won't speak. And that's when I see her really healing someone, is when she walks in the door, they can't stop their silence. I mean, they stop their silence immediately. It's they laugh, they cry, they start telling the doctors everything that happened, why they're so mad, and that starts the healing process. We've had two or three soldiers, you know, from Walter Reed call me and say, look, when I walk out of here, I want Faith on the phone. I want to walk out by Faith. And that's a miracle to me. That's amazing to me.
What is quite amazing, actually, about that is, even though Faith has a disability, it's almost as if it was meant to be that way. It's almost like some people would say that this all happened for a reason.
Oh, yes, it did. I mean, nothing. And I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, but I also know there are other religions out there who believe similarly to me, that the Almighty or the Superior does things on purpose to train us. And there's a verse in the Bible that says he chooses to use that which is dumbfounded to, you know, to surprise us or to train us or to teach us. And you got to think about this. There's a little yellow dog in Oklahoma City given to a poor teacher with three kids, you know, and all of a sudden this little dog out of nowhere starts walking and gets on TV and then goes, you know, locally, and then a little bit stretching out the community, and then all of a sudden becomes the world. And how that happened, it was not done naturally. It was done supernaturally, using the very, very ordinary, meaning anybody, anywhere could be used by God.
As Jude was telling us right now, people from many different walks of life have been inspired by Faith and her story. One of those people is Cindy Papale, a breast cancer survivor, and the author of The Empty Cup Runneth Over. Faith has inspired Cindy to help and inform others about breast cancer. And I wanted to find out first when she was diagnosed with cancer and how Faith helped.
I was diagnosed in July of 2000 with a left breast cancer. That's when I found out by routine mammogram. So working for a breast surgeon, I had a very big concern because I knew all about breast cancer and I knew invasive did not mean good. However, it was a stage one, and it was a multifocal, meaning there was three tiny cancers instead of just one. Fortunately, it did not hit my lymph nodes, so I did have treatment. I took a drug called Nalvadex, and I'm sure some women who are familiar having had breast cancer know what that is. It's also called tamoxifen. It's a chemo pill, and they did catch it early, to my hope, hopefully, that they took all the lymph nodes out that were negative. So I was a stage one, because there are different stages to breast cancer.
Now, your book, The Empty Cup Runneth Over, tell me about that.
The Empty Cup Runneth Over initially was born on July 9th of 2008. I began speaking to high school and college students about a year and a half after diagnosis. And at that time, I found out that a lot of young teenagers did not know enough about breast cancer. I decided to ultimately write an easy-to-read book called The Empty Cup Runneth Over. In that book, it has two themes. The themes are actually from 15 doctors who wrote easy-to-read chapters followed by inspirational stories. In particular, there is one young girl that was diagnosed at 22 and lost her battle at 26, so she shares her journal in my book.
You see, something that I find rather amazing, especially in this day and age where there's a lot of information out there about breast cancer. There's still yet a lot of young women who think that it will never happen to them.
That's true, Keith. Breast cancer has no boundaries. However, like I was in high school and college, you are oblivious to cancer. Who thinks about cancer in high school? You're actually worrying about getting a boyfriend or the prom or having fun with your friends and going out. And then in college, of course, you're interacting with other new people, with sororities, and also other programs that are offered in colleges. So you really don't think about it unless it touched your family, if someone in your family or even a close friend. The only time actually people really get involved is the month of October, when Breast Cancer Month is very active. However, for breast cancer survivors such as myself, Breast Cancer Month is every month.
What is the reaction when you speak to students about this?
Well, that's another good question, because a lot of the students are afraid to ask questions or embarrassed. So basically I start my talk by, asking how many here have known someone with breast cancer or had a history in their family. And by that time, 90% of the students raise their hand. Their reaction to when I tell them that I prophylactically, by choice, chose to take the right breast off was really amazing. Their eyes get so bright, not understanding why I took a healthy breast off. And I did that because for fear of the cancer going to the other breast.
Let's talk about faith. This is something that I'm really curious about, because how does a bipedal dog, a dog that walks upright on two legs, has no front paws, walks around like a human? I think probably Faith even thinks she's part human. How did that inspire you to help others?
Oh, it's awesome. One day I was blessed to meet a woman named Jude Stringfellow, who is actually, we become so good friends, and of course she's the owner to the bipedal dog Faith. I remember seeing Faith while watching Oprah one day on TV, and I was so shocked when I saw her coming walking out onto the stage. It was at that moment when I met Faith via TV, or better known as, quote, the boob tube for me, that it was at that moment that, you know, it struck me like, oh my God, look at this dog. And of course, for some reason, Faith had her mouth open with her tongue out, and it looked like she had this biggest smile on her face. And just at that moment, I saw that if, you know, the inspiration of this dog coming out with only two legs, I mean, no front paws, was amazing. I shared with Jude after I saw Faith on Oprah that how much she inspired me to become even more of an advocate and to help others, which ultimately, of course, led me to writing my book. It's truly amazing. Faith is an amazing dog and will continue to help others. Just watching her walk, it just enlightens people's faces. If you watch the show, which I believe it's on the website, you can just see it. And it actually came right through to me from the TV. It was amazing.
You know, it is amazing to think that, I mean, Faith, the little dog walks on two legs, you know, and
I know.
I mean, if you think about a dog, I mean, a dog lives a very simple life. I mean, it really just cares about playing, eating, and being taken for a good walk every now and again. But yet we humans, who live much more complicated lives, we tend to take things that happen to us, I think, in a more serious way. I think that there's a lot that we can probably learn from animal behavior for to better our own lives.
Absolutely, and animals are the best. I believe they're the best therapy ever. I have a little teacup dog, Tabitha, who one day I would like Faith to meet, but Tabitha's only 4 pounds. My goodness, Faith would probably, in one lick of a kiss, tear her across the wall. But I believe animals really inspire us, and yet we really don't know. We don't know that. There are some people that are not animal lovers, and we can't, you know, that's okay too, but I love animals. I really believe they're very good for the soul. They actually inspire you. if you actually just watch Faith and see how she interacts with other people when she visits hospitals and other facilities, and how she brings laughter and smiles to people, even walking in the street, people stop and they just look and smile, and it just, when you see her, it's hard to explain the inspiration she gives you. You look and you go, oh my God. That's the first reaction when I saw it. I go, oh my God. This is truly amazing.
That was breast cancer survivor Cindy Papale. She is also the author of The Empty Cup Runneth Over. For more information about Cindy and her book, log on to www.theemptycuprunnethover.com. I'll repeat that, www.theemptycuprunnethover, that's all one word, .com. Remind you, you're aboard the Faith Train, a special presentation from Share Marketing and PCJ Media. To find out more about the Faith Train, log on to www.boardthefaithtrain.com. That's www.boardthefaithtrain.com. Around the world, there are many different animal welfare organizations, such as the SPCA in Canada, the RSPCA in the United Kingdom, and an animal rescue that I volunteer with here in Taiwan called Animals Taiwan. But the unfortunate truth is some of these groups around the world help animals find new homes, and quite often, dogs and cats that have disabilities are euthanized. But in the last couple of years, a number of organizations have been created to help our little furry disabled friends find homes and owners to care for them. One such group is CARE. That's Community Animal Rescue Effort in Strawn, Texas. Pamela Hinkson Macquarie is a member of CARE. I contacted her to find out a little more about this very special rescue organization and how Faith got involved.
CARE was established in 2007. We had about 10 members, and we've grown that now to more than 30 adult members and 30 of our children. The children are a part of the program, and we include them in all the activities. It's an opportunity for them to train and develop, and we want them to be future volunteers. We rescue animals since we began the organization. Approximately 300 animals have been rescued and placed into permanent homes. And right now we're fostering about 30 foster dogs right now. And the way we work that, we don't have a facility. So different members within our group will allow those dogs to be taken care of in their yards. And our leadership team, our field team, goes from house to house on a daily basis, taking care of those animals, feeding them. If they need meds, they give them the meds, whatever their needs are. And some of our foster homes actually take care of the feeding schedule themselves. But for the most part, our rescue team goes from house to house, and we take care of those foster animals on a daily basis. Now, this team is that we're just volunteers. And in addition to doing all that we do on the rescue forefront, everyone has full-time jobs. So it's a huge effort. I would estimate we probably volunteer 80 hours a week among our group. That many hours are volunteer to take care of our process.
Now, let me ask you for a moment, because this is interesting. This is something I want to bring up, because in the name CARE, you use the word rescue. Now, by rescue, do you mean that you rescue animals that have either been abused or have been in accidents? You don't just rescue ordinary street dogs, do you?
We rescue animals if someone calls and says, hey, Miss Lindsay is our leader, for instance, on the rescue portion. Pam Lindsay is the leader. Hey, Pam, I've got a dog, and we've seen it out and about in the area for about 3 days, and clearly it has no owner. It has been abandoned. Will y'all come and pick it up? Well, the answer to that is yes, we go get it. What we try not to do is go into homes where you just don't want your dog. We try to get those people to hang on to that dog and care for it until we try to help them find a home. But we rescue abandoned animals. Last week, the team was out in the area of Brad near Possum Kingdom Lake where they found six puppies, scared little puppies. They went out about 3 or 4 days in a row. One time they got two, the next time one more. Eventually they got all six of those puppies. They were out in a wooded area and had been reported to care by two different individuals because they were so tiny. They were just, coyote bait. So the team was out there several times to try to rescue them because obviously when they've been abandoned in the middle of nowhere, they get the fear factor becomes predominant and they're very hard to even approach. So we rescue animals that have been abandoned, abused, or just, you know, sometimes they're lost. Today, Pam Lindsay told me today they got a call from a lady in Mingus who had lost her black lab, and they were just driving around here in Strawn and spotted that dog and picked it up and took it back to her. So we just kind of keep the process going to keep animals with owners.
Can you give me a brief summary about how CARE began?
Okay, in 2007, a lady named Peggy McQuarrie, she decided that there was a real need in this area for a rescue organization. So she combined with several other people. I wasn't on board at the time, don't know the names, but I know Peggy has been, she's our president of the organization, and she's been here from the beginning. They looked around and saw a need, so they began to have meetings on a weekly basis. The more meetings they had, the more information was presented, and it got very clear to all of those in the group that there was a real need in our end of the county. We're in the southwest portion of this Pelican County, and it was very clear that there was a need for a rescue organization. So these 5 or 10 members began to talk about, you know, writing the bylaws, and it was decided they would file for the 501c3, and they just, you know, one baby step at a time, the organization began because of the need. It's an organization developed, and it has grown because the need has grown. You know, the economy's so bad, people, they suddenly lose their job, and soon they lose their home. Sometimes they walk out and leave animals in the yard, animals inside the house, sometimes even mules, donkeys, horses. Sometimes they're just abandoned because people don't know what else to do. And that is why the organization was, that's why it began back in 2007, because of the real dire need for the rescue operation in this area.
Can you tell us about Leo?
Well, Leo ties to Faith. So I just want to tell you, early in April of this last year, we had Faith and Jude here, and it was awesome. I wish I had better adjectives to describe to you the kind of impact that little Faith and Jude had on our area. We heard the story. She had no front legs, so Jude worked with her to get her to walk, because if she didn't get her to walk, she couldn't survive by, you know, dragging her body on the ground, pressing her heart against the floor all the time, and the front part of her body. We heard that story, and we were so touched and blessed by her presentation and the fact that she's, all the things that she's done and the lives she's touched, and she touched ours very deeply. And about 2 weeks after she had been here to do our presentation, one of our members, Laura Schur, got a call from a veterinarian in Mineral Wells, and he said that a dog had been rescued up in the Possum Kingdom area, hit by a car. he said, does CARE want to take ownership of this pet? And Laura said, well, let me find out. So shortly after she got the first call, she got the second call saying that the dog was very badly injured, was going to need an amputation. Does CARE want to take possession of the dog once it's, you know, goes through this process, and will they take care of the dog? She talked it over with the group. We had just had Faith, who had no front legs. Here's our opportunity to rescue a dog that's, it was just hit by a car, and nobody claimed ownership to it, and a nice lady named Sue from Possum Kingdom delivered the dog to the vet. And so we talked it over, and we said, well, sure, because what happened with Faith is she was not supposed to even live. You know, the little boy, Jude's son, rescued the dog. And after the rescue happened with Faith and all the blessings that came about because of her rescue, all the lives that were touched, her incredible story, all of us were just so fired up. We were determined not to have a dog just thrown away because of an injury that seemed pretty insignificant compared to Faith. So we rescued the dog, and the veterinarian eventually, he just comped that service. It was a pretty expensive operation to save the dog. And it just turned out to be another success story. A very nice lady in Gordon is a teacher, and she took Leo in for her very own dog. And we see Leo occasionally. He's beautiful and healthy and, you know, an inspirational story of his own. And so it was because of Faith being here that we got really interested in Leo, and we all decided, you know, it's such a throwaway society. A little something happens, and the dog is euthanized, when in fact what happened with Faith, her story is so, it touched us all so much, and so many blessings came from that. We decided that was the way we wanted to go with Leo. So we did rescue him, pay for his veterinarian's, well, actually the veterinarian services were comped. But that's what happened to cause that to take that direction.
That was Pamela Hinkson-McQuarrie, a member of CARE, that's Community Animal Rescue Effort, based in Strawn, Texas. One of the most inspirational stories I came across while putting this program together is that of Erin Landell. Erin lives in California and is a recovering alcoholic. He has been sober now for over 5 years. He has said that part of the road to recovery was faith. Here's his story.
I was suffering from continual bouts of depression and drug use and alcoholism, very untreated and very undiagnosed, but I found myself in the very loving care of the Della Martin Center here in Pasadena, and unfortunately, you know, I was down there for, you know, lockdown, and the nurse that was overseeing my case called me in about 2 days before I was about ready to be released. And she called me into her office, and since I had had a bit of recovery at this point, I was feeling a little bit better about myself and everything in general. And so my sense of humor came back, or what I thought was my sense of humor. And I sat across from her on the desk, and I noticed this little picture, this little dog that had no front legs. And, you know, kind of snidely, I said, you know, it must be terrible, you know, you must feel absolutely horrible about running over your pet like that. And she looked at me, she just kind of had a little smirk on her face, and she pulled down her glasses and looked over the top of them, and she's like, well, I can see you know very little of God, let alone faith, so let me introduce you to her. And I just kind of like looked over like, okay. And she told me about her story. She turns out that she's also a recovering alcoholic and addict. And she actually met Faith before I did. How I came to be aware of this was she told me her story. I was scheduled to be released the following day. After hearing the story, I had really nothing to say. And for the first time in my, you know, almost 40 years, I really had no clue what to say. I was at a loss for words. And I went back to my room and I sat on my bed and I contemplated life in general. You know, the possibility that maybe God does exist and maybe he can do things and, you know, maybe I'm really have been wrong all along. And, you know, I did something that I normally didn't do, and that was to cry. You know, I hadn't cried in a long time. That night when I went to bed, you know, I said my nightly prayers, or that was the first start of my nightly prayers, I should say, and I went to bed. When I woke up the next morning, there was a picture on the side of the bed, on the nightstand, with a little handwritten note attached to it, and it was really beautiful because it was the same picture that the nurse had on her desk, only it was a copy of it. And it said a handwritten note that said, you know, anytime you feel like self-destructing or you think that God can't, take a look at this picture and realize that he can if you meet him halfway, you know. And it was really one of those life-changing moments. People very rarely, it's been my experience that people very rarely get a second chance at. And I'm very blessed to have come to this. And I can honestly say that now 5.5 years, so coming up on 6 here in December, I'll have 6 years of sobriety. I used to keep the picture in my wallet every day, and anytime I have a bad day or anytime I'm starting to feel like, you know, God doesn't care, I would take that picture out and I would look at it. I had it laminated, and I used to keep it in my wallet. Well, somewhere along the lines over the years, you know, the lamination broke down, and here recently I unfortunately lost the original picture that I had, but a mutual friend sent me another one. And so now I have another picture of Faith, and it too is now in my wallet.
That was Aaron Landell and his story. And if you've just tuned in, you're aboard the Faith Train, a special program presented by Share Marketing and PCJ Media. One thing that anyone that has a pet is concerned about is healthcare, be it dogs or cats. In Faith's case, it's even more important due to the fact that she uses her hind legs to support her entire body weight. So her muscles and joints have to work harder than your average four-legged pooch. Vetionics, based in Grand Rapids, Michigan, is not just your average run-of-the-mill pet healthcare products provider. They specialize in homeopathic healthcare products. By the way, they are the official natural supplement sponsor of Faith. So I'm wondering if that makes Faith a spokesperson, or rather I should say a spokesdog. Anyway, at this very moment I can hear some whispers out there when I said homeopathic. Yes, you heard me correctly, homeopathic. As we hear next from the president of Vetionics, Albert Duaves, this seems to be a pretty normal reaction.
Exactly, like you said, the reaction is mixed, obviously. But as a company that we have to provide service to people, we provide it in a way where we just say, okay, well, you know, we are here to work with you. We're here to match your commitment to what you want to do for your pet. So, try it for the result that you see. Try it in conjunction of working with your vet and see what happens. Most people are amazed with the result, and that opens up their eyes to that approach. And some people, you cannot change their mindset. They have a different mindset, and you can't do anything about that. And the idea behind it is just, these are options for people to try. And it's unfortunate they see it all day. You know, sometimes people come to us after they give up and they're about to put their, you know, dog to sleep or something, that aspect of it, and they say, well, I love this dog, let me try something different. And they look at other options as alternative and end up, you know, get them result that they need, or at least give them some more time with their pet. and they're very appreciative. So you get them both ways. Some people give up on, you know, on the traditional, because sometimes cost, you know, I mean, pretty much cost is an important element into vet care when it comes into, you know, serious ailment. And people have to make decisions, you know, and we come in, you know, for that kind of alternative choices that people have. And a mixed attitude is something we always face and we always work on, and we always hope to help people. You know, that's our objective, is to help as much as possible. And if we had it before, when people don't see a result, you know, we're to say, well, we give it a try, and, you know, thank you for trying us, and here's your money back. That's the best thing you can do, I guess.
What are some of your most well-known products?
Our most well-known product is Arthroionics, which is supports mobility and joint health. And it works in its homeopathic form to at least help alleviate and provide relief for the pets as far as pain concerned. And it helps with the process of detoxification of the on a cellular level, promoting better communication into the cells, so the pet go back to its normal process of you know, digesting the food and the nutrients, or and getting back in on the healthy cycle of its life, rather than on the damaged cycle of its life. And it's been very effective, and we're always looking to improve on it, actually. And as of lately, we improved on it more and more. You know, that's the number one thing people think about when it comes in to their pet, is the mobility aspect, and the most popular, I think, for people's looking for these kind of products.
Now, with your products, do they require a prescription from a vet, or can they be bought in most pet shops in the United States and in other countries?
A pet does not require a vet to approve of it, but we recommend people discuss that with their vet. They can buy it either online through our web portals, or they can find it in different retail stores. Some health food stores will have it in the U.S., and some vet even carry it as well themselves. The vet industry, there is a new thing that is going on, which is there's a lot of natural vets, you know what I'm saying, vets that are promote a lot of healthy living, especially the one that lives in the country, you know what I'm saying, that deal with livestock and things of that nature. So most of those people are, you know, carry product like ours and provide it to their client.
That was Albert Dubois, president of Vetionics. For more information on all their products, it's just a few clicks away at vetionics.com. I'll spell that for you. That's www.vetionics.com. Faith's marketing company is Share Marketing, based in Waterford, Michigan. They are also the organizers of the Faith Train, of which I will give out the information on the website later on. Norma Palin from Share Marketing found out about Faith in the same way many of us do, be it television, radio, or online. Here's Norma to tell us her story about Faith and about Share Marketing's involvement.
You know, Keith, I was online one day, and someone had sent me an email. I had never heard of Faith, and there was an email, and here was this dog, you know, walking on her back two legs, and I read her story. It was a very short story, and I got to be honest, it changed my life.
What was it about the story that changed your life?
She inspired me so. She just inspired me, and I don't know if you believe in fate, Keith, but I really believe it was fate that I read that story, and how my life has progressed since then is pretty incredible, and I believe it was fate. I believe it was fate I read that story, and a lot has happened since then.
Now, you work for a marketing company called Share Marketing. How, was it your idea to get Share Marketing involved?
Well, you know, just prior to sheer marketing, after I had read that story, I had a public access television show. And I contacted Jude Stringfellow, Faith's owner, and asked her if she would come on the show. Obviously, she wasn't coming to Michigan, but she did a phone interview. And I titled it America Needs Faith. And the show went very well. I aired it locally here in Michigan. And I started thinking about it because I had earlier in the year started working with Sheer Marketing. And I started envisioning America Needs Faith, the show I had done on the public access. And I thought, you know, America does need faith. But you know what, Keith? The world needs faith. And I started putting that into an inspirational product format, and I started seeing myself having a cup of faith in the morning. And I seen, you know, people wearing shirts and clothing that had faith on it, and just all these other inspirational products. And I thought, you know, you look at her and you smile. She brightens your day. There's such a message when you look at faith, even if, you know, there's no words to it. So that kind of is how it all came about.
Now, is this a normal thing for Sheer Marketing to get involved with? I mean, what does Sheer Marketing mainly do?
Sheer Marketing mainly does ad specialties and promotional products. So if you had your company wanted to purchase, you know, products for their employees, whether it be wearables or anything. Anything that you would put your logo, your name on, you know, we don't manufacture, we actually distribute. So yes, this was outside of our realm, but the owner, Cheryl McGuire, her and I both felt the same way. You know, we both read the story of faith, and we both came on board. We both realized that this is bigger than both of us, and it could be just an incredible experience.
So you've come up with the idea and concept, which we're talking about on this special show, called the Faith Train. Can you tell us a little bit about what you hope to accomplish by it, and what kind of things are involved?
Well, I want to tell you a story, Keith. When after we received a contract from Faith for inspirational products for Sheer Marketing, we brought Faith and Jude Stringfellow to Michigan. And that was the first time that we had the opportunity to meet Faith. And I was absolutely blown away. I mean, when I first seen her walking in the airport in Detroit, and of course Faith always has a crowd around her, you know, I watched the people's reaction. I watched how they were around Faith. And when Faith would lay down and take her rest, I mean, it was like a magnet, and they were just all over her. And then she uses her head and her neck, and she pushes herself right back up and wags her tail and keeps right on, you know, on her little journey. And it just kept, I kept watching the people with Faith. We took Faith to the Veterans Hospital in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and she was walking down the hall, and I watched a lady. She was pushing her husband in a wheelchair. She spotted Faith. She left her husband. She ran, I mean literally ran to Faith, got right down on the floor with Faith, and though there was quite a few of us around watching her, I mean, it was as if we wasn't even there, and she looked at Faith. And her words was, you know, Faith, I've had a very rough day, and I've been feeling really sorry for myself. But thanks to you, you have inspired me, and I'm not going to have a rough day or a depressing day any longer. I mean, that really touched us. It was just, she didn't care that we were there. She paid no attention to us. She ran right to Faith. And it was those kinds of experiences that I kept seeing on their visit here that just touched me so deeply.
Just out of curiosity, what was the reaction of the husband after he was pushed aside for the dog?
Well, I hate to say this, but I don't think anybody was paying attention to the husband. No, I think he was inspired as well. You know, Faith does a lot with, obviously, with veterans and people with disabilities. So later on in that visit, that's what Faith exactly did. You know, we brought all these veterans into a community room, and she came in. And I got to tell you, Keith, we cried. I mean, the crew of us that came there for this, watching her interact with a soldier that came in, that there was one that didn't have a limb, another one that was hooked up, you know, that you know, was on oxygen, and just all the different scenarios that we watched with her interaction with these veterans was, it's hard to explain. It's hard to put it into words. It just was so heartfelt and so touching that faith changes your life. She really does. She changes people's life. She brings out the best in us.
I was speaking there with Norma Palin from Share Marketing. For more information about Share Marketing, check them out online at www.sharemarketing.com. That's www.sharemarketing, sharemarketing.com. Well, I can see now that we're pulling into our final stop on the Faith Train. In other words, we've come to the end of the program. Once again, if you want to find out more information about the Faith Train, go to www.boardthefaithtrain.com. That's www.boardthefaithtrain.com, where you can find out more information. Also, check out the Share Marketing website, www.sharemarketing.com, which I gave out a moment ago. Or you can contact us here at PCJ Media. Our email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com. I say it again, pcjmedia@gmail.com. Before we end off, I want to thank the following people for their help in the production of this program. Norma Palin at Share Marketing, Jude Springfellow, Johan Backer, our production assistant, Kevin Lee, our technician. A special thank you goes out to all the stations broadcasting this program, and of course, Faith, so I bark to you. Woof woof. Well, that's the best I can do. At PCJ Studios, I'm Keith Parent, thanking you for coming aboard the Faith Train. And I hope that you will buy a ticket again soon to join everyone on this extraordinary journey. So long, everyone, and God bless.